Coming up on Simply Superior. Is the orchestra all tuned up? It's the annual Season of Song holiday concert by the University of Wisconsin-Superior Chorus and Orchestra. And we've reserved a front row seat for you. Then, what's the story of Hanukkah? And what's up with that giant candelabra at Miller Hill Mall?
It's always cool when you go to somewhere and they have, you know, giant menorahs. You know, always adds a unique aspect to the holiday.
All that and more holiday music jazzed up after this. Welcome to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and my guest in the studio is Erin Aldridge, professor of orchestra, who with Michael Fuchs, her colleague, director of choral activities at the University of Wisconsin-Superior, has just come off leading the UWS Chorus and Orchestra in its annual Season of Song concerts. Welcome, Erin.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So I said concerts because there were two held at the Cathedral of Christ the King down the street.
Correct. We were there both on this last Sunday and on Tuesday.
Okay. Well, we'll get to hear that in a minute or some of it. But this is an annual tradition, is it not?
It is. I am in my 17th year of teaching, and it has been long the tradition since I've been here and even before then.
Mm-hmm. I won't press you. It's not long before then. Yeah. Maybe teacher's college days?
Apparently. I don't know.
The main thing is the repertoire. How did you pick what you picked?
I think it's a collaborative effort. Usually Mike is the one who leads the way and has a very clear idea of what he wants to do with his choir. The orchestra had a particularly unique semester. We had some outside performances, and including performance at our state conference in Madison. And the focal point was the Vivaldi Four Seasons. And just the timing of it for us, making sure we had something that was in good shape to play, that was sort of the natural fit. And Mike thought that that would work really, really well. So that's, each year is a little bit different. It depends on what the repertoire has been and what the, I guess you would say, the theme of the concert is. And that sometimes dictates what's going to happen.
Well, I thought you were going to say the reason that Vivaldi came up is you knew that it was one of my favorite pieces, right?
Well, that too.
Right.
Yes.
But I know that it was one of your, I don't know if I want to say one of your greatest hits, but come on now, you did a sololess performance of this, or the whole orchestra,
yeah.
The Duluth Superior Symphony Orchestra, that
I
was
did.
Simply out of this world.
Oh, thanks.
This is a music review suddenly. And I remember people afterwards saying, how did she do that without the music in front of her?
Lots of practice. Lots of listening. And the Four Seasons for me is one of those pieces that I've played from little on
right.
up. And I've played several times as just as a musician in the orchestra, and then I've had the opportunity to solo. So I think it's one of those I've done it enough. It's sort of, I call it one of my old war horses. So it's always my trusty friend that I can dust off and bring back, and I have it in my fingers. So
right.
that's a piece of it, is just repetition.
And more important is you're passing it on to another generation. Or
absolutely.
Maybe several.
Anyway. And I have a really unique and spectacular crew of students in the orchestra that I absolutely adore, and they work really hard and they play really, really well. And I thought it's the year for Vivaldi because it's such a high benchmark piece, and they did really a great job with it. And so it was the right group at the right time to have that performance.
Also, I noticed you have fall, and now this is a guy who, again, grew up on this music also, and
yeah.
We're getting into the weeds here, but you have the concerto for fall and for winter, and I think that's an homage to this year where winter happened in the fall, right?
Yeah, exactly.
As we're recording this, it's the last day of fall, and it's still quite winter.
Exactly, exactly.
Other pieces? What else is in the repertoire?
You know, it's become a staple is O Holy Night with our voice professor, Vicki Fingelson. That's always a big moment, and that comes later on towards the end, and it's really quite spectacular. She's a wonderful singer, so that's a big staple.
You have another piece that's a staple.
Oh, absolutely. That would be the choral staple of Juana Baraka. It's a fantastic piece that features our percussion professor and chair of the music department, Brett Jones. And it's based on a Kenyan folk song. And it tends to be one of the anthems for choir. And it's a really wonderful piece.
Great.
I love the whole program. I think it's unique and interesting and has something in it for everyone. Our choir is singing so beautifully, and I think people are just going to enjoy everything.
Well, listeners get a chance to enjoy it right now, at least an excerpt of the concert. I want to thank our guest again, Aaron Aldridge, professor of orchestra, who with Michael Fuchs, director of choral activities at the University of Wisconsin-Superior, led the UWS Chorus and Orchestra in his annual Season of Song concerts. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you so much.
And without further ado, here are selections from the University of Wisconsin-Superior Chorus and Orchestra in their annual Season of Song concerts, introduced by Brett Jones.
Well, good evening and welcome. My name is Brett Jones, and I'm the chair of the music department here at UW-Superior. I want to thank you so much for braving the negative zero temperatures to come out for this concert. I know it's so cold outside, but having experienced this concert on Sunday, I know it will really warm your heart. It's beautiful music, and the students are really pouring out their hearts and souls for this music, and it's a real experience. On that note, I just wanted to point out that this program, as you've noted in the program, can go continuously from one song to another. So even if you love a piece, please hold your applause to the end, and it's really a great experience, and I think you'll agree with me. At the end. As always, I would like to thank Father Andrew Ritchie, Jess Pascosum, and the cathedral staff and volunteers for welcoming us into this wonderful space. It's absolutely perfect acoustic for this kind of music. Thank you so much, and enjoy the concert. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was the University of Wisconsin-Superior Chorus and Orchestra, under the direction of Aaron Audridge, Professor of Orchestra, and Michael Fuchs, Director of Choral Activities, with selections from their annual Season of Song Concerts performed in Superior this past week. We heard Concerto Opus 8, Number 4, Winter from the Four Seasons by Antonio Vivaldi, followed by the Candlelight Carol in an arrangement by Dan Forrest, the Kenyan hymn Wana Baraka, and O Holy Night, featuring Professor of Voice Vicki Fingelson as the soprano soloist. Coming up, Hanukkah at the Mall and more music after this. Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. Rabbi Mindy Ross is director of Chabad of Duluth. He was raised in Matawan, New Jersey, where his parents were very active in their local Jewish community. He studied Jewish law and Hasidic philosophy at Central Yeshiva Tamchei. You're going to help me with
Tamchei Tamimim Lubavitch.
All right, I didn't even try.
That's okay.
In Brooklyn, New York, where he was ordained in 2015. His community work and chaplaincy includes programs in New Jersey, Brazil, and more than 80 prisons throughout the southern United States. Rabbi Mindy lives in Duluth with his wife and three children. Welcome to Simply Superior.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for correcting my pronunciation.
No problem.
So, thank you again for being here on the eve of Hanukkah. Hanukkah starts when?
Sunday night. Sunday night, it's 8 days, goes the first candle we're going to light Sunday night, and the last candle light a week later, Sunday night. December 22nd is the first night.
Okay, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but I'm going to start actually with a serious note, and I looked on a map where you grew up in New Jersey, and it's about 40 minutes away from where the kosher deli was that was attacked last week. How close to home was that for you?
Very close to home. In fact, my father's office is in Jersey City, and he was actually here visiting us, but we're following the events, obviously, and all of a sudden my father says, oh my gosh, I got this notification, like, don't come to the office today, or go home, or, you know, if you were planning on coming, and whatever it is. So it was hits very close to home. You know, I never really visited Jersey City growing up. It wasn't like, you know, a destination. I don't, to my knowledge, there's not much going on there. I've probably been there a few times. But, yeah, I mean, anytime, Jews are attacked, it hits home, and especially when it's somewhere that I, you know, near where I grew up and my father has an office. So, yeah, definitely hit home, close to home.
Right. Well, again, our condolences to everyone affected by it.
Thank you.
So on to a more positive note, I will say something about Hanukkah from my experience. It's been my holiday, too. I've been celebrating it all my life. But I spent a lot of time explaining to people it's not Jewish Christmas.
That's right.
and then I get asked a question, all right, you know, well, what are you getting anyway? And then I go on to say, well, it's not really a major holiday. Or at least it wasn't before Christmas started getting commercialized. So what's your take on all that?
Well, I'm not an expert on the timeline, but Hanukkah is definitely very different than any other holidays going on at this time of year. And if I understand correctly, it's a lot older than the other holidays that are being celebrated. But
going back to when?
Around the 250 BCE, then, that's when Hanukkah kind of takes place. It's, you know, over a period of time. So definitely way before, what other holidays are. But it's very different. Like you said, it's not a major holiday as far as it's not in the Bible, right? It's part of the quote-unquote Apocrypha, you know, the holidays that are not inside the Bible. At the same time, Hanukkah has gained a lot of traction for the message of Hanukkah and over Jewish history, over the, you know, past 2,000 plus years of Jewish history since Hanukkah, it's gained a lot of traction because of the message of the light, the message of freedom of religion, and stuff like that, especially in the United States where we have freedom to celebrate any religion. So, and of course, it's become commercialized like other holidays this time of year.
You noticed.
Yes. You know, there's no question about that, you know, yeah. But it's the Hanukkah in and of itself, it's become, you know, in Judaism, you know, there's really, you know, there's the holidays that are in the Bible, the holidays are not in the Bible. And the end of the day, if it's, you know, it's part of Judaism, you know, we take it on full force. And they're like, oh, okay, this one's an optional. You know, it's not optional by any stretch. And people have, you know, risked their life to celebrate Hanukkah the way people risk their life, you know, to celebrate other Jewish holidays and Jewish rituals that, you know, were when we were persecuted in other countries. So.
And that segues into actually the story of Hanukkah, so I'll let you tell us.
Yeah, the story of Hanukkah is a very long story, but we don't have much time here. No. We'll try to condense it. Basically, King Antiochus, who again lived in around 250 BC, somewhere in that range, maybe a little later even. And basically, the Jews were subjugated under his rule since Alexander the Great's time. And in the end, what ends up happening is that he wants to bring his culture to the land of Israel. He wants to bring his Hellenism, which essentially is all about, you know, worshiping the body, worshiping the mind, worshiping, you know, the culture of the day.
Greek culture,
yeah, Hellenism. And he promoted that to all countries that were under his rule. But the Jews were the only one who said, no, there's only one God. You know, in a paganist society, it works. You could have, you know, okay, one extra god, no problem. We'll do whatever you want, Antiochus, sir, yes, sir. But when it came to the Jews didn't really take on to it. And eventually it leads to a rebellion where, famously, the Maccabees rebelled, you know, a small army. And in the end of the story, which is the key of why we celebrate Hanukkah, they take back the temple and they find the jar of oil. And that wasn't desecrated by the Greeks. Mm-hmm. By the Assyrian Greeks.
The oil was for an eternal light.
The oil was for the Hanukkah. It wasn't Hanukkah. The menorah service, right? That was done daily in the temple, and they decided they're going to do the commandment the correct way, and they're going to do it by finding a pure jug of oil, which they miraculously found, and they lit it. You know, they weren't chintzy. You know, maybe we'll save a little bit more for tomorrow, even though it would take a few days, 8 days to be exact, to get new oil. And they lit it, and miraculously it burned for 8 days. And that's really what we celebrate on Hanukkah, is the miracle of the oil. The miracle of the battle, which in and of itself was a miracle, is not as much on the forefront, right? We don't have any celebrations of that, but we do celebrate by lighting the Hanukkah menorah, starting with one candle in the first night on December 22nd this year, and going every night an extra candle. That's commemorating the miracle of the menorah and the lighting of the menorah in the temple.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. That segues right to the giant menorah at Miller Hill Mall we've seen over the years. Are we going to see that this year?
Yes. Yes. God willing. The celebration is going to be Sunday night at 4 to 6 p.m. at the Miller Hill Mall between next to the Fountain Court and Essentia Health right over there in the Miller Hill Mall. There's going to be donuts and chocolate coins and dreidels and raffles. Actually, we were generously donated to us from the Minnesota Twins some memorabilia, as well as from the Minnesota Vikings. So we got most sports covered, except hockey,
hockey,
which is the only important one. But that's another stuff. Hopefully next year, maybe we get some hockey stuff. But they were generously donated some memorabilia. We're going to be raffling off, and it's going to be lots of fun for family, for kids, for everybody. And we're going to be lighting, of course, the highlight is lighting the giant 6-foot menorah at the Miller Hill Mall. So that's always exciting. You know, it's of course the main thing is to light the menorah in your own home, but it's always cool when you go to somewhere and they have, you know, giant menorahs. You know, always adds a unique aspect to the holiday.
And the 6-footer is electric, correct?
It's electric, but we're going to be lighting with candles. Yeah, right. Regular candles, not giant flames.
All right.
Regular candles, yeah. But during the rest of the Hanukkah, where hopefully it'll be up over there, it's going to be electric, yeah.
My guest is Rabbi Mindy Ross, the director of Chabad of Duluth. And we're talking about the menorah lighting at Miller Hill Mall. Other stores, I've noticed over the years, Target, Walmart, unfortunately the list isn't very long anymore. I would say Shopko and all, but they're gone. But invariably have Hanukkah items, and then maybe every other year they don't. So sometimes they've got all kinds of stuff, and they're left over. Sometimes you can't find anything. And I'm wondering who does the buying for them, because sometimes you see a bunch of menorahs, and actually, you're not likely to buy a whole bunch of menorahs every year, right?
Right. Yeah, it's one of those things where you get one and you try to keep it as long as you can, you know, and especially people try to get very expensive ones. So,
right.
Yeah, candles, that's the important part, you know. And you don't even really need a menorah. You need candles, you know. You could always figure out where to put the candles.
That's true. I do have a very special menorah that actually is an oil menorah, so I don't need a candle.
That's
so.
Right, yeah.
But trust me, I'm not going to buy it every year. It's quite an heirloom. I also have a Kanara for Kwanzaa, which is based on a menorah, and it's a 7-branch candelabra. I got it in a shop, not here, but in a different state, an Afrocentric shop, which sort of predictably went out of business because how many Canaras can you sell?
Yep.
So that's the question I'm asking is, how do you strike a balance going back to the commercial world? On the one hand, you know, we have a vibrant but small Jewish population in the Twin Ports, and it would be nice to go to a store and find the chocolate candy you mentioned, Hanukkah Gilt. I could send it to my grand twins. But on the other hand, no, they don't need to stock 100 menorahs because I think we all got one. You know?
Yeah.
So how do you get the rest of the world to, forge that balance?
Well, you know, it's hard to, you know, especially when it comes to commercial things. You know, they're gonna look at their business, you know, sheets, and I'm not an expert in at all. But I think, you know, it's always good to have something. You know, in the end of the day, I'd rather them have the menorahs available and then not have anything, you know. So even if they're not going to sell it, you know, a ton, whatever, you know, it would be nice if you know, stores could put something out. And the truth is, if you reached out to the Jewish community and you said, hey, we're going to have a display this year, we're going to be selling Hanukkah items, I'm sure people, you know, would spread the word and patronize the stores, you know. But like I said, like you mentioned, you know, candles are going to be much more in demand every single year, candles, oil, etc. Or even, you know, decorations, stuff like that. There's always going to be more in demand than, let's say, the menorahs.
Good point. Yeah, candles. That's true. Somebody needs to
remember that. Because you can't use that. You can't use that year to year. No.
Well, I use oil. So, and then lastly, for the rest of the community, what are the takeaways for Hanukkah for anybody?
Well, it's all about spreading the light, and I think the message of Hanukkah that we could really, you know, tell to the whole community, not just to the Jewish community, is that a little bit of light pushes away a lot of darkness, right? We can't fight darkness with a stick. You know, we mentioned earlier in the program about, you know, negative things and tragic things going on in our community and other communities throughout the United States and the world. And, you know, the way we could fight it is by, you know, being good people in ourselves, influencing other people to be positive, and to spread light, because fighting darkness, it doesn't really work. You go outside with a broom, never helped anybody. But lighting one candle, that could have a tremendous effect. And specifically when it comes to Hanukkah, most of us, when we light the Hanukkah menorah, besides when we're doing it at Miller Hill Mall, we're doing it in our homes, you know, even if it's in the window, not many people are necessarily going to see it. But the main publicizing the miracles to ourselves, to our own families. And once we are enlightened by the menorah, we have an opportunity to kind of spread that to others, you know, by just being, we're now changed people after Hanukkah, right? We're now people of light, so to speak. And now, you know, we could go out there to the world and without much effort, just, you know, that's the message of a candle, right? A candle, there's no tremendous effort in making a light, right? It's just a byproduct of fire. So it's a tremendous opportunity for every single person to spread light. That's the main thing, you know, fighting darkness, the only way to do it is to spread light.
My guest again is Rabbi Mindy Ross, the director of Chabad of Duluth. For those who are not familiar, tell us what Chabad is.
Well, Chabad is a Hasidic movement started about 250 years ago in Russia, White Russia, and it, you know, now in the United States for about 80 years now. And the philosophy of Chabad is about really using your mind and to serve God. By subjugating your heart to God. That's really what it, in the philosophy, of course, I'm condensing a little bit, but that's the philosophy. And it boils down to, you know, loving your fellow Jew like yourself. It's a very important part of the Hasidic movement. And so, you know, today Chabad is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, Jewish organization in the world with over 5,000 centers, including here in Duluth, Minnesota, serving the Twin Ports in northeastern Minnesota and northwestern Wisconsin. And it's all about just helping other people, right? Helping people with any Judaism needs or any other needs, serving the entire Jewish community and making sure they have a place to call home.
Okay. Well, I don't think we can add too much more to that. So any other thoughts? Any other holiday greetings?
Well, I would just say I want to wish everybody a happy Hanukkah. If anybody needs holiday items, like you said, not always can you get in the store. Chabad, we have Hanukkah kits available for anybody or Hanukkah guides. You could get them if you come to the Miller Hill Mall during the Hanukkah celebration. We'll definitely have available there. But if not, you could call Chabad at 218-481-0708.
One more time.
218-481-0708. And we'll be more than happy to make sure you have everything you need to celebrate Hanukkah or anything for the entire year. So appreciate Robin having me on today.
Great. And one more time, the Miller Hill Mall celebration is on Sunday at what time?
4 to 6 p.m.
Great. Rabbi Mindy Ross, thank you much.
Thank you very much, Robin.
And happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah.
Coming up. Some familiar Hanukkah tunes, but with a different twist, after this. So if you do celebrate Hanukkah, chances are you're familiar with this tune, only maybe not the big band version. It's the Hanukkah song Baal Zur, in a version I stumbled across a couple of years ago by the A.L. Wilner Big Band based in New York. I was helping out with our jazz programming here at Wisconsin Public Radio Superior Bureau when their Hanukkah album was released and I put it on the playlist. Recently, they've just completed a European tour, but I think you can say you heard it here first. Here is A.L. Wilner and his big band with selections from their Hanukkah album. That was Mao Zur by the A.L. Vilner Big Band. I'm Robin Washington. We'll close out our holiday edition of Simply Superior with Sebivan, also on the group's Hanukkah album. We'll be back next week with the year in review. Until then, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, joyous Kwanzaa, and wishes for any other solstice celebration. And with winter finally here in the Northland, let's hope it's an easy one from here on out.